Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
How many of you know that we can kind of make a mess of our life sometimes? We get these feelings of, oh, I really need this or I really want that. And sometimes we get ourselves way off track. But one of the amazing things is that God always knew ahead of time where you would be. There's no mistakes in anything. Even when you're in your lowest moments, there are things for you that He has for you to build you up. Even when you feel like you're in the middle of the storm in your roughest time, He is your defender. Because every single thing He has for you, He's still got even in those moments, and more. He's got exactly what you need to move you through those moments. He's got exactly what you need to get you even to what's on the other side. Where we make messes, He makes masterpieces. He really does. It's why it's so extremely important for the church to realize that it's not just coming to church and listening to what's said and going out and doing your normal day-to-day, but realizing that there is a Father that you can have a relationship with who will speak to you, who will give you exactly what you need in the moment that you need it, who will break bondage, who will lighten loads, who will help in every situation that you're in. It's direct contact. That's really what it is. It's direct contact with the one person who loves you more than anything, that gave His life that you might have that ability to speak with Him one-on-one every single day. It really is a powerful thing. It really is. And I guarantee you, if you just start going after God, even if you don't know how to listen to Him, if you just go after Him with the intent of, I want to know you, I guarantee you, you will see your life change in ways that you didn't even realize. That you'll have gifts, that you'll have things within you that you didn't even realize were there, because now, what God created you, the way He created you to be, begins to just come forth and flourish in your life. He really is your defender in all things. In all things. And when we think our way is better sometimes, we get ourselves into things, but He knows what's better. And He'll put you on that path. There's nothing that you can do to separate yourself from Him. He will. If you come after Him, He tells you that your sins are forgiven and they're thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. They're as far from the east as they are from the west. If you're holding on to something this morning, if you're holding on to something this morning, whether it be hurt or pain or even just shame, just know this morning that God created us for forward motion. Not to go back. Anything that you've done, anything that's happened, He paid the price already. He's already paid the price. You're forgiven. You're washed clean. Let it go and move forward. Look forward to what He has for you for today, for what He has for you for tomorrow, for what He has for you for the day before that, because He's got so much more for you.
God gave me this word a few weeks ago. He told me that, my child, I give you this gift to you to use it, not to put it away, please use it. Because the way that I give it to you is the way I can take it away. Please, Shiles, use it. Because I want you to use it wherever you go. Please, Shiles, I give you each of you. I give you this gift to you. I want you to use it everywhere you go, every step you go. You can use it. Please, wherever you go, use it. Because you allowed to use it. If you go to a jail or whatever with your friends, in a bar, wherever you are, and you work, do it. Don't be afraid. Get it. Use it. Don't hide it. Because I'm there with you. I'm gonna be with you. Please, don't be afraid to use it. Thank you.
Who don't know, recently I've had a stroke, and last couple of weeks ago I spent 2 days in the hospital. At first I didn't know that I had a stroke. I had really bad headaches, and so I went to the hospital to see what was wrong. And after some CAT scans and an x-ray, come to find out, I had bleeding on the brain. And thank goodness God provided. And he made it to where there was no damage to the brain itself, and that the blood just dissolved into the brain. And I just want to thank everyone who prayed for me while I was gone. And just what a wonderful thing the body of Christ is, and how much love that everyone has for each other. And I want to express my gratitude to everyone who prayed for me, lifted me up in prayer, encouraged me, and made me feel so loved. And thank you very much.
I'm so uncoordinated sometimes, it's not even funny. Okay. I've had a couple discouraging weeks, and I wrote this, and I believe it's true. And sometimes you just have to start encouraging yourself and others around you instead of being discouraged. So this is what I wrote. When you're feeling low, like there's nowhere to go, and all of life's stress seems upon you, remember one fair, you are in God's care. Rest in his arms, he's got you. When you're feeling scared and by life uncared, not knowing what daylight might bring, look to the stars in heaven above and sing praises to God our King. Sing and then cling to his arms and remember, he's got you. It's so hard at times when going through our climbs to remember our Savior above. But focus on him and the pain will all dim. He's got you and you're part of his love. For Christ reached out his arms and died for all harms upon a cross that day. He took our sins as he died, only to rise again. So accept his free gift and run into his arms, for he's forgiving and true. And his eyes are on you. Just run to him and rest in his arms. He's got you.
Good morning, everyone. So God has given me a song for this time in my life. Praise him in the storm, thank him in the storm, because I'm victorious. Sometimes when we have pity parties, we can have a pity party, or just maybe not feel strong enough, and we have these thoughts. If you think you can, or if you think you can, you will. If you think you're defeated, you are. If you think you've failed, you have. But why? God is our strength. He's the defender of our heart. He's the lover of our soul.
Yeah, come on. Glory to God.
You know, I picture being in a boat during times of tribulation, you know, and like in the Bible, what Peter, the wind, the storm, the waves, but eyes need to go back on Jesus because he's in the boat with us.
Yeah, come on. Praise God.
So when I fall, Jesus, I can hear him. He's like, get up, get up, get up. I am here with you. And I do. Praise him in the storm. Thank him in the storm. For we are victorious in Jesus.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Morning.
Good morning.
It's loud. Okay, so I've been working this whole week, right? Actually, for this past couple of weeks, and we got Father's Day shirts, and we were excited. People are coming into the store, and they're talking about Mother's Day is more important. You know, people really don't celebrate Father's Day. And so I started laughing, and then for a second, it kind of hit me, right? And I was like, you guys don't celebrate Father's Day, right? Then, well, it's not that important. We'll give them a tie, and that's good enough. And throughout the week, more and more, people just kept saying it more and more. I was like, so I started asking people questions. Why is Father's Day not important? Well, I didn't have a father. Oh, and you? Well, my dad wasn't around. And you? And they're like, well, he worked too much, but sometimes he'll be there. My mom was always there. And so it more and more, it really, really got me. And I was like, man, if we knew, you know, Father's Day, our Lord, our Savior, yeah, God has always been there.
Come on.
Right?
That's
so
right.
Mother's Day is great, but man, Father's Day, you gotta think about it. We all have a father. If he's not physically there, he's spiritually there. He's always been there. So I want to encourage everybody, next week, I love the Saturday before Father's Day. It always happens, too. Like, their men's breakfast is, like, one of the best. They all come in here. That Saturday, we get prepared. Yeah. We eat, just fill our spirits. And then the next day, just great.
Come on, man.
So I want to encourage everybody, if your father is physically here or if he's spiritually there, just know that he's always been there for you guys. That's and he right. always will be. So, right. you know, if you have a bad week, you have a bad month, something's going wrong, just know that he's always there and he's always going to be there.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Woo, yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. As you can see, this microphone is out here for you. Okay. Because we believe in the body of Christ ministering to one to another, building up, strengthening. God will give you a word for somebody that's
that maybe has never been here before, but places it on your heart. You come up, you speak it, and it breaks something in their lives. And I believe that's a beautiful thing. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, God is using his people today. It's not the big evangelist anymore. Can you say amen to that? It's the body of Christ doing what God has called us to do. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's give God a praise. Let's just give him a clap offer real quick. Because how many know he's a great God? Amen? He is a great God. There is nothing like God. Amen? There's no one like him. Amen? When he comes into your heart, I tell you what, you know it. Is that right? Come on, man. When you get saved, how many are saved here today? Not one? Oh, yeah. Raise your hand if you're saved. Come on. How many of you know that things change when God comes into your life? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Cleans house. Amen?
Yeah.
How many need your house cleaned? Praise God. Yeah. Everybody, see the ladies? Yeah. Come on. Clean my house. Yeah. The Holy Spirit comes in and he does something and all of a sudden, hey, you're not the same person anymore. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's a beautiful thing. Praise God. So we're going to go. Hey, let's go into Genesis. We're going to talk a little bit about Isaac and the son of Abraham. I see some things in the Word of God that God wants to speak to the hearts of his people. Those of you that are hungry for the Lord, I want you to lean in on this message this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you know what I mean by lean in? Yeah. Show me what lean in means. Oh, I see one guy leaning. There you go. Lean forward. Come on, everybody. You can lean. Just lean in. Hey, you know what? Everybody just lean in. Show God that you're leaning in on this message this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. We made on Sunday morning not so much to hear a preacher preach. We hear what God is saying to the body. Is that right? What God is saying to the churches. And so I'll tell you what, every Saturday night I'm saying, God, what are you saying to the churches? What are you saying to the people of God? God, what is it you want to say? God, give me a message. God, give me a message. And praise God, God gives. He is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. And today we're going to be talking about Isaac, the son of Abraham. Amen. So if you will, let's go to Genesis chapter 26. Praise God. I'm going to read you a story. Is that okay? How many of you like stories?
Woo!
Yeah. The word, one guy. The word of God is wonderful. It's good to read God's word. How many say amen? Amen. I mean, there's nothing like his word. He will show you things. You'll see things. He'll answer your questions if you allow him to. Is that okay? Just by reading his word, he'll show you things. The message is called direct deposit. How many like direct deposit?
Yeah.
Anybody say, yeah, come on, man. All of a sudden, somebody's put some money in your account. Is that okay? How many like that?
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. I mean, I worked at a mine. We used to get in envelopes with our checks, and then all of a sudden, they went to direct deposit. Come on. You know what? I never saw the money again. My wife got it all. Praise God. But how many like direct deposit? Works good, doesn't it? Well, God wants to deposit something within you today. So that's the message is called direct deposit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that there's no one like you. No one can speak to our hearts. No one knows us like you, Father. So, Lord, this morning, as we're looking at your word, Father, will you just open your word to us in what you would have to say to us. Father, what you would have to say to us. Father, I pray that your spirit would just speak to every heart today, one way or another, hit needs, hit desires, hit vision. Father, give vision, give all these things because you're a great God and I know you want to do it, Father. So we thank you for it, Father. We praise you. I pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to move this out of the way. It's my blind side. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 26. The word of God says this, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in the land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto you and to your seed will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham, your father. Folks, can I tell you something? We are the seed of Abraham. Do you guys know that? Amen. The Word of God calls us the seed of Abraham. If you believe in Jesus, you are the seed of Abraham. So I want you to notice that God is speaking to Isaac, but he's speaking some things that are very, they're truthful things, and they're very far off, and yet they're very right now. Is that okay? Know this, that the seed of Abraham, the children of God, are going to possess the earth. Do you know that? Do you understand that? That this thing belongs to the kingdom of God. How many say amen? It belongs to the king who created the whole deal. Amen? Yep. Hallelujah. So here God's telling him, he says, man, stay in this land. I will bless you. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the countries. He says, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto you, unto your seed, all these countries. And in your seed shall all the nations of what? The earth be blessed. All the nations. Kind of hard for, I wonder if Isaac was thinking, what about all the earth? What'd you say about all the earth, God? I would say it might have been kind of hard to even fathom. But today, because of who Christ is and what he's done for us, there are believers, the seed of Abraham, all over this globe. How many say amen? Get ready, because God is bringing something, all right? So because that Abraham obeyed my voice, God is still speaking, he says, and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, she's my sister. Do you guys remember when Abraham did that? For he feared to say, she is my wife, lest, he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was, everybody say, fair to look upon.
Fair to look upon.
What does that mean? Come on, pretty. Good looking, amen? Yeah, you guys, pretty, yeah, okay. She was good looking, amen? Finger looking good. Amen. Come on. She was nice. I mean, yeah. Come on, man. Come on. Yeah, yeah. Get to church and get all sanctified, man. Come on, man. Praise God. Yeah. He was afraid because she was a beautiful woman. And he thought, they're going to try to take her from me, so they'll kill me just to get her. So he said, oh, she's my sister. And it came to pass that when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. The king looks out the window and he sees Isaac sporting with his wife. Rosie, come here a minute. Baby, come here. Yeah, come here. Yeah, I don't know what you guys, what do you think that maybe Isaac was doing with Rebekah at the time? What do you picture in your head? Was he doing this? Was he sporting with her? Was that kind of sporting? I don't think so, because that doesn't say wife, does it? Come on, get fast. No, she'll hit me. That wasn't the kind of sport, I don't think. But maybe he was, hey, hello, you know. Does that say wife? Not really, huh? No. That don't say why, huh? But maybe he was doing something like this. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, hey, that does not say sister, now does it?
No.
Come on. Come on. Most people would understand that. Amen. So Abimelech saw them. And he looks at, hey, you know, the Bible says sporting. That word sporting means to be kind of having fun with. I mean, amen.
Yeah.
God, let me just say that. I'm going to throw this in because it just hit me. Because maybe God was giving it to somebody. God wants you to have fun with your wife. Is that okay? Ladies, that's your chance to say, yeah, come on. Amen. He wants you to have fun with her. Enjoy your wife. Amen.
Yeah.
One amen. Thank you. Praise God. Well, I tell you what, I have fun with my wife. We play volleyball. We go walking. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Enjoy your wife. It kind of keeps the fire burning. Amen. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Abimelech, he looks out a window and he sees, hey, that can't be his sister. That's got to be his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety, she is your wife. And how saidest thou that she is my sister? And Isaac said, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this that thou hast done to us? One of the people might lightly have lain with your wife. Y'all know what that is. And thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put, what?
To death.
Wow, that's kind of a crazy thing with a king doing that, isn't that right? All of a sudden he goes, oh, man, that's your wife, man. Anybody that touches her, he puts out a decree, you better not touch him or his wife. When I read that, I kind of thought, well, why would he even do that? Why would even, you know, why would, can I, do you get, this Abimelech is the same king that when Abraham went to Gerar, Isaac's dad, who had his wife Sarah, he told the king the same thing. It's my sister. Because Sarah was a very beautiful woman. Amen? Guys, how many like beautiful women?
Woo!
Okay, one guy. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Aaron. Amen. But God has healed you, bro. Amen. Come on, man. Amen. Hallelujah. And because she was beautiful, Abraham lied to the king. And then, so the king, King Abimelech, this same king, he took her and took her into the castle. But he hadn't laid with her yet. He didn't lay down with her yet. The night he had a dream, and God came to him in dream and said, "You, that woman that you have is a man's wife. And surely you are a dead man." How would you like to have a dream like that, God speaking to you? Surely you're a dead man. So Abimelech said, God, hey, I did it. He said it was a sister. So he returned her, returned Sarah back to Abraham. God had did something else. He had closed up the wombs of all the ladies in that king's realm. And because he did that, God said, tell Abraham to pray for you, and he will, and they'll all be healed. So he prayed for him. And this is the story. This is the same king that was talking to Isaac, Abraham's son, and saying, hey, man, nobody touches this guy, right? He don't want to get another warning call from God. Amen? Praise God. He said, oh, no, I've had enough. I understand this guy. Praise God. So here, how would you, I mean, even in the midst of that, can you see that God is protecting him? Or just by making a king say, nobody touches this guy or his wife or his stuff. Nobody. So God is protecting him. Things have a way of working out for your king, for his kingdom and for his glory. How many say amen to that? Can I tell you, if you're patient, God will work things out. How many are not patient? Oh, boy. Let me tell you, my wife was the first one up. Yeah, I said, come on, hey, calm down, babe. Calm down. I mean, you ever said that to your wife? Calm down, babe. You ever said that to your husband? Come on. Calm down. Calm down. Hey, be patient. Can I tell you, if you are patient with God, God will take you there. Can you say amen to that? No matter what, no matter what's happening, no matter what's going on in your life, God will take you out of it and into what he has for you if you'll wait. Is that okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to work it out on yourself. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. And Abimelech said, what is this that you have done? One of the people might have lightly have lied with your wife, and you should have, and you would have brought guiltiness upon us. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Here Isaac sows. He begins to be a farmer, and he receives 100-fold. How many want to receive 100-fold from God? Can I just say this to you? That is a promise to you. That's a promise. God said, I'm going to bless you. Can I tell you that God was depositing within Isaac's heart His word, his promises. Can I say that to you? Can I tell you how important it is for you to hold on to the promises of God? Because when he deposits them in your heart, when you know these promises, can I tell you something that God, you'll see them. You'll see them fulfilled. Is that okay? Yeah. You're going to like that. So your Isaac is... His everything he does is being blessed. God, he plants his garden, and man, his carrots come out this long. Yes. Yeah, squash, you can barely carry it. Had to get the kids carried into the house. Amen? Watermelons that you can't even believe. Amen? 100-fold, man. He was receiving 100-fold because of a blessing of just holding to the promises of God. Is that okay? Yes. Praise God. So he says, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became a very great man. For he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Folks, can I tell you the glory of God in your life is so that the world can see the goodness of God. Can I say that to you? I'm going to tell you that again. The glory of God in your life is so that the world can see the goodness of God. God wants to bless you. He wants to cause you to be a place where, hey, people say, look at him. Look at her. She's awesome. I don't know what they're doing, but man, something's happening in our life. And a lot of times they'll want to know what's going on. Amen? Praise God. That's what the kingdom's about. He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go from us, for you are much mightier than us. Up here, the king of Gerar tells him, hey, you guys need to leave. You got too much flocks. You got too many herds. You got too many people. You need to leave. So the king basically kicks him out. Amen? Yeah. Says, go on, get out of here. And Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, and they digged in that they had digged in the days of Abraham their father, because the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. Did you notice that it said that twice? It wants you to make sure that you know this. I believe the word of God is trying to say something to us. Can I tell you, the world wants to stop your well. There is a well of life springing up out of you. It's called joy. It's called peace. There's things that God gives to you that are very special to you, very powerful to you. And the world wants to stop your well. Can I say that to you? They're going to try to get fear instead of faith. They want to give you fear instead of faith. They want to get you angry instead of happy and joyful. Amen. That's just the way the world operates. Because if they don't got it, they don't want you to got it. Is that right? That's good with language, isn't it? If they don't got it, they don't want you to got it. Is that right? Why? They're envious. Maybe they don't know how to get it. Amen. That's why you're here, to help them to get it. Amen? Amen. Come on, man. Yeah. How many of you know that God has placed us on the earth to do something? And it's just not to polish your truck every Friday. Is that all right? I tell you, I got my truck back. Praise God. Oh, amen. God. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's not in very good condition, but I'll tell you what. They abused my truck. They abused my donkey. That's what I call it. It's all beat up. They ripped the dash out and everything. And God's saying that this is not the time to talk about your truck. I said, okay. All right. But listen, God really, the world is trying to stop your well. When they took my truck, the thoughts, my son was talking to me, and he spoke these words to me. He said, Dad, who on this earth is powerful enough to steal from a child of God? And when I thought about what he said, I go, oh, my God, you're right. Nobody. You can borrow my donkey for a little bit, but it's coming home. Amen? Come on, man. This is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything on it. Your truck, your car, your house, it's the Lord's. It belongs to him. He gave it to you. Just give him the glory and the honor. Say, God, praise God. The water heater in your house is broke. God, come on. And say, amen, watch God provide. Amen. Right, Randy? We own nothing, do we? We don't own anything, do we? It's been given to you by God. And he says, man, take care of it. Watch over it. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, boy. I don't know why I went to my truck. Anyway. And Isaac's, and it says, Isaac digged again the wells of the water, and they that they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Amen. Hey, just water that springs. That just flows up. Amen. Folks, hallelujah. That's clean water. Amen. It comes out on its own. Huh? Not forced. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that like the world? Yeah. Hey, you. Yeah. That don't belong to you. That's ours. They want to tax you on everything. Amen? Is that? The Bible tells us to pay taxes. But come on everything they're going to make us pay taxes on? Hallelujah. It's crazy. The earth, remember this, don't ever forget, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he gave it to Adam, amen? Adam lost it. But Jesus came and he bought it back. And it's redeemed. Everything on this planet is redeemed. It might not look that way, amen? But it is. Jesus isn't going to die again to redeem the planet. How many say amen? It's already done. It's already a done deal. What he's waiting for is the body of Christ. The Bible says that the whole creation is waiting. It's waiting, what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. That's you. That's me. That's us. That we begin to speak into this earth. Hey, you belong to us. You belong to us. Reuben and I were talking about the other day when he said, hey, man, people throw trash on the ground. Hey, don't throw trash on my earth. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. You tell, speak that. Hey, no more of that. You pick up your trash, take it to a dumpster. Amen. Hallelujah. How did I get on that? I don't know. Praise God. Man. Somebody in the house is throwing their trash out in the middle of the road. No, I'm just kidding. I just thought, eek. Yeah, who knows? Praise God. Hallelujah. The herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the word Essek because they strove with him, and they dig another well. And strove for that one also. And he called that one Sitna, which means enmity, fighting. Who is striving? The herdmen of Gerar and Isaac's servants. Isaac was not striving. Can I say, the Bible doesn't say that Isaac was striving. He was saying, well, let's go find another one. Amen?
Yep.
Let him have it. Whoo, come on, man. Hey, there's a message in that, folks. Let him have it. Hallelujah. Because God's got a provision for you that if you will hold on to your attitude. How many say amen to that? How many, let's say another way. Let's say if you hold on to your emotions, is that okay?
Yep.
Because sometimes we get all emotional, is that right? Well, my father dug these wells. They're ours. What are you talking about? Isaac could have done that, but does it say he did that? No. He just said, well, they went and they dug another well. And he removed from there and digged another well for that one they strove not. And he called the name of Rehoboth. For he said, now, listen to what Isaac says. Now the Lord made room for us. And we shall be what? Fruitful in the land. Out of your mouth, listen to me, out of your mouth comes blessing and cursing. It's important that you don't curse yourself before you even get started. Amen? That's what happened with those Egyptians. I mean, that's with the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They kept cursing themselves with their own mouths. We should have been back. We should go back to Egypt. We got to go back to Egypt. You brought us out here to kill us. Before they even got started, they were cursing their own selves. Folks, don't do that to yourself. Realize what you're saying, because the words that you say are so powerful to you. They are treasures and they are destructive. Amen? Amen. Keep your words. Think before you speak. Amen. How many of your mama used to tell you that?
Yep.
Think before you speak. Amen.
Yep.
Thumper. Remember that? Remember the Thumper. We want to speak. We want to be quick. I had a lady tell me one time, she goes, well, that's just my English nature. Well, God's giving you another nature. Hook up to that nature. Get rid of that old nature. Throw it away. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. I don't need my old nature. I don't want to pick it up ever again. Amen. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a drunk, man. Yeah. And I couldn't get loose. And let me just say this. I do not want that nature. I will not go back to that. So I said, oh, well, you can have a beer. Not me. I'm not, listen, don't get me wrong. This is me. I got hooked and I couldn't get loose, and God got me loose. It's like one of those electrical wires and you can't let go. I couldn't let go. But God disconnected the power and got me off by his power. And now I'm free. Why in the world do I want to go hook up again? Amen? That's just me. Look, I'm not telling you. I will tell you right now. If you're drinking, if you're having a glass of wine or everything, hey, my wife likes wine. It's okay. But if the Holy Spirit says something to you, you better listen. Is that okay? Is that good enough? When he says something to you, it's time to listen. Say, okay, God, what are you saying? Too much? Okay, I'll back off. Stop doing it? Okay, I'll back off. Whatever he says, not what Pastor Henry says. Who cares what he says? Amen? I didn't die for you. Jesus died for you, and he sent his spirit to speak to you and have a good time with you. Is that right? Come on, man. So, hey, it's okay. Hallelujah. This is what God says. I will make you free, and you'll be free indeed. Because you can do whatever you, unless the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. You back away, and you don't do that. How do you say amen? The word of God says, don't sin. Amen?
Yep.
Three people. Come on. Yeah, amen. Steve and I were talking about this morning. Hey, man, there's some churches that, man, they're banging. They're up and alive. Amen? Hallelujah. And I say, come on, amen. Don't sin. Amen. And I get three people saying, amen, don't sin. Yeah, don't sin. It's okay. We'll get there, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, man. Amen. Watch your words. Don't sin. We shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Can I tell you something? There's something about the word coming to you over and over and over again, because God wants to maintain the deposit in your life. Is that okay? So he's deposited. Look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And Isaac's servants dug a well. Always digging wells. Amen. The Bible says, blessed is the man who passing through the valley of Baca Valley, stops and digs a well. You ever been in the valley of Baca? It's a valley of dryness. You ever felt like you were dry? You ever felt like, God, are you doing something in my life or not? Amen? How many of you felt like that before? Yeah. Well, dig a well. What do you mean dig a well? Dig a well. Go after God's word. Go after God. Hey, fast a few meals. How many say amen? Amen. Come on. Hello, anybody awake out there? Hello, hello. Fast a few meals. I could use a fast. Come on, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. God's trying to do something in your life. Then Abimelech, the king that kicked them out. Abimelech went from Gerar with Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said to them, "Wherefore are you coming to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with you. And we said, let there be now an oath between us and you, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no hurt. As we have not touched you, and as we have done unto you nothing but good." Amen? Yeah. "We'll kick you out of my house, but I've done nothing but good to you." Well, he was good to him. He said, "Look, you're too big, so you need to leave." So Abimelech was telling them some good stuff. And he said, "We've done nothing but good. We've sent you away in peace. And now you are the blessed of the Lord." Recognition of the kingdom. Folks, God's wanting to bless you that the world might see and become inquisitive and say, "What is it that you're doing? How is it that you got so blessed?" And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up before times in the morning and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass that the same day that Isaac's servant came and told him concerning the well that they'd been digging, and said unto him, "We found water." Amen?
Amen.
Come on, man. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is called Sheba unto this day. That word Sheba means oath. Oath. The oath is what it means. Be'er, which it says looks like beer, but it's Be'er. Be'er means a pit or a well. This is a well of the oath. I want you to tell God, you got to get this. God has given you his promises. They are a well of the oaths, the promises. They are a well that's within you. And see, just like they had dug and found a well that was springing water, God wants these promises springing up within you every time something happens to you. The oath comes to your heart, to your mind, and you begin to speak it. It comes out of your mouth, and it begins, that thing will begin to change things in your life. How many say amen? Come on, there we go. We're getting better now. Come on, hallelujah. Why would not Isaac challenge those guys? We would say, "Hey, well, why don't you challenge him? Your father built those things." Why? Because he had an oath that God was going to bless him anyway. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing by any means will hurt you, is what the word, God's word says to you. Nothing will hurt you. God has you. So if you are confident with that, with that thought that God has you, that no matter what happens, he's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to make sure that you get blessed. You got nothing to worry about. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let challenges and don't let those things come and change what's in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Because what God has deposited in you is very, very important. Very important to you and to him. Amen? He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. Amen? Hallelujah. Check out this scripture right here. This is 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 23. I want you to see this. This is why you don't get excited at folks. Here's a reason in the New Testament that says, "Hey, man, you know what? When somebody gets in your face," how many have ever had anybody get in your face? Yeah, yeah. How many have ever had a Christian get in your face? Yeah. Then you go, "Oh, now what do I do, God?" Yeah. But listen, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief. See what he says? Endure it. Just endure it. If you endure it and you're suffering wrong because you did something wrong, it says, "What glory is it if you be buffeted for your faults?" He says, "Take it patiently." Is that what he says? Take it patiently. Then it says, "But if when you do good," right? When you do well and you suffer for it, what? Take it what? What's he telling you? Everything, whether it be good or bad, take it patiently. What? Patiently. In your patience, you possess your souls, is what Jesus told us. That patient waiting for God is important to you. So whatever's going on, take it patiently. Back away from it if you have to. Don't get tangled up in it, but back away and say, God, you've got this. Amen? Check it out. And he says, for hereunto you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. Here's his example he left for, that you should follow his steps. He did no sin. Amen? Neither was guile found in his mouth. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. He didn't talk back. He said, when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who is it that judges righteously?
God
who? His Father. He committed all those things to his Father. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Why? Because of the deposit that God had placed within him. This is where you stand. Because of the deposit that God puts in your life, that's where you can stand, just like it says right here. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 18 to 22. As surely as God is faithful. Everybody say, God's faithful.
God's faithful.
Everybody say, surely God's faithful.
Surely God.
Come on, man, surely.
Yes.
Surely God is faithful. Amen?
Yes.
Is he faithful or not?
Yes.
Just think about it. Just think about how faithful he is. What is holding this planet in the middle of the space? This is why I like sometimes talking to people, well, I'm an atheist. Yeah, okay, well, good. Then you must have an answer. How is the earth spinning around the sun, being held up, not bumping into the other planets? How does that work? What's causing it? Well, I don't know. Folks, there's really no answer for that. Can you say amen to that? There is no answer other than the commandment of God.
Amen.
God's command on these planets, his command in space, his command on the earth to spin and rotate all these years. For he gives us winter, spring, summer, and fall, right? He gives us all those things so we can have all these times of snow and harvest, and we're getting ready for the monsoons. Amen?
Amen.
He is faithful. So surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who we preached among you, by us, by me, and Silas and Timothy, this is what Peter's saying, the one Jesus that we preach to you, all of us guys, Henry, whoever you are that preach to other people, check this out. Was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. With God, it's always been yes. What's he talking about? Keep reading. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made. Has God made a lot of promises? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's made some promises. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in
Amen.
Christ.
Yes.
You ought to shout for that, man. Woo! Everything that he says is yes in Christ. Woo, I don't know how you can sit there, but I can't. It's a good thing I'm standing, folks, because I'm going to tell you what, this gets me excited. All the promises, every one of them, they're not no. God's not saying no to you. They're all yes. Every promise that you get, every promise you find, every promise you hear, it's a yes to you. That's what Peter's trying to say. It says this. And so, through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. What's that mean? What does that mean? What does amen mean? So be it. It means so be it. So here's the promise. Everyone is amen to you. It's yes to you. Is that okay? That's good. Every one of these promises is yes to you. So all you say, so be it. Come on. Amen. That's all you say. It's easy. It's not as hard as we think. But the fact is, you got to believe it.
Yes.
You got to stand on who you God is, what he said to you, and just say, I believe that, God. How many believe God wants to prosper you?
Yeah.
How many believe that God wants to give you cities and countries? How many believe that he desires that your body is healthy? Who's that Ted LaLanne? What's his name?
Jack
LaLanne. Does anybody remember Jack LaLanne? Rick, I bet your daughter doesn't remember Jack LaLanne, huh? Who is Jack LaLanne? Last time I saw him, he picked up his arms and he had skin hanging down here. But God wants to make you. Listen, God has designed you to last a long time. Do you know that?
Yep.
Let me say amen to that.
Amen.
God. We are incredibly made. Is that right?
Yes.
We're not designed. I mean, I don't believe God designed us to even pass away. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
He designed you to live. And the Bible scripture says, and live more abundantly. You see, you can live in the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or you can live in the law of sin and death. Which one do you want? He has designed you to live and not die. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, man. The body of Christ needs to know that. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep going with this. Everything is amen and spoken by God. Amen. How many say, yeah, God wants you healthy. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. God will do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And he says, now it is God who makes both us and you, me and you. Look at your neighbor, say us. Look at your neighbor, say, me and you. He has made us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you know the word of God is in you? You're anointed. Is that right? Yes. Jesus died and dwells in you. You're anointed. He said he anointed us and he set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a what? A deposit. Guaranteeing. Oh, I love these. I love that. Guaranteeing what is to come. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Come on. He put a spirit in you to claim these, to speak these promises that they might be guaranteed on your behalf. Is that okay? Anything that you go through, go to the Word of God. Find God. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good?
Yes.
I think that's good. I think that's good preaching. It's not my word, it's his word.
Amen.
I think that's good. But it gets better. It gets better. Because the Spirit of God that dwells in you, check this out. Oh man, the deposit. He is the deposit. I'm gonna ask you again, how many of you like somebody putting money in your bank?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Can you put up that saying I put up? I want you to read this just for a minute. Check this out. This God never asks anything from you unless he's already made the deposit in you. Think about that a minute. He will never ask anything from you unless he's already made the deposit in you. Just think about it. God is trying to deposit in you great things. He wants you to know who you are in him. And he will deposit these things little by little, and it will work. The deposit will work upon the deposit. If your friend tells you, look, I'm going to deposit $500 into your bank. That's a good friend. Isn't that right? That's good. He said, I'm going to do a direct deposit on you. And then you go. And you say, okay, I got $500 in the bank. And you go and you find out that he never deposited anything. Can you do anything with that deposit?
No.
Can you do it? Can you do anything with that deposit? Let me just say this to you. The deposit that God places within you is there for you to use it when you need it. Just like your, what's that card called?
Debit.
Your debit card. Just like your debit card. You pull it. How many of you guys pull it out when you need it?
Yep.
You don't stand there and say, well, I don't know. I mean, I got money, but I don't know. You know, no, I got to get gas. Yeah. Waiting for somebody else to pay your gas. No, you pull your card out and you get it done, right?
Yep.
Because you got money in there that you deposited in there, or maybe somebody else deposited it into. But you can't do anything unless the deposit is there. Is that right?
Yep.
That's all God's saying. I've got a deposit in you. Use it. Use it. Huh. It's a good thing. Amen.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Check out this deposit. Watch this. Romans chapter 8. This is the power verse for today. Verses 26 and 27. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit. So now you got the deposit of the Spirit of God in you. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We don't know what to pray for as we ought to. Is that okay? Folks, this is why the Holy Spirit is coming to your life, so that you can pray in the Spirit. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Some of you haven't ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost, or you never prayed in the Spirit, but you will, because it's there. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you washed your sins away, and the Spirit of God has come to dwell with you, and He will pray for you the way He knows He ought to, if you'll let Him. Is that okay?
Yes.
It's neat. So it says this. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, itself, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according
to the will of God.
According to what?
The will of God.
That's the way he prays. When you're praying, you might not know anything, but buddy, he knows exactly what he's praying. He's praying according to the will of God. I will give you an example. I've been giving you example after example, but here's the example once again. I never asked God to be a pastor. I said, no. My wife said, Henry, I think God wants us to be a pastor of a church. And I was a youth pastor. Young people I can handle. All you all. Brother Sean tells me it's like trying to herd cats. Just when you get one round up, you got three more got away. Amen. No, but I never asked for this job. I told God, all I said was, God, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'll do it. Just tell me what you want. My wife's telling me, I think God wants us to pastor a church. And I'm saying, shut up. Shut be quiet. I don't want to pastor no church. I've seen how people treat pastors. What, are you crazy or what? No, babe. I think God, hey, knock it off. Well, one day I was in here like this preaching, and I was told the congregation, I told you, hey, look, I never asked for this job, but I told God that I would do whatever He wants. So here I am. That same morning, driving home, I had fallen asleep in the truck. I started speaking in tongues, started doing the speaking in tongues, and I woke myself up, and I looked at Rosie, and I said, was I speaking very long? She goes, no, you actually just started. Felt like I had spoken for a long time. You guys ever? And the Holy Spirit said something to me right then. He said, oh, Henry, you prayed for it. You just didn't know you were praying for it. Because I was praying according to the will of God, not my own, His will for my life. So when that, I realized, God, you set me up. You set me up. You gave me the Holy Spirit so I could pray for what you want for my life. How many say, can I tell you that's what we want? We want His will for our lives. Isn't that crazy? He deposited, I would say, this is what I call the direct deposit. The direct deposit, because He hits it right on the nose. When you're praying in the Spirit, He speaks right to whatever's going on in your life.
Amen.
Days to come, like it said, that He might cause your future to come rushing towards you. Is that cool? God's got things He wants for it, but He says, I can only open those things up to you if you just release yourself to me. If you'll calm down every time can I tell you that we need to calm down when we see the world doing what they do? Because they don't know the Lord. They don't know Him. So calm down. Say, well, just pray for them. Just say, God, you know, they said that, I better not talk about that. I'm going to go somewhere else. Hallelujah. Because Jude chapter 1, verse 20 says this. But you, beloved, amen. How many know you're beloved by God? Can I tell you, God loves you more than you can even realize. He loves you, man. He cares about you. He wants you to know him in a way that you've never known him before in your life. Can we all stand? So what the word of God says, beloved, he says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in what? In the Holy Ghost. Folks, God is saying for his church this morning, pray in the Spirit. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Look to my kingdom. Look for me. Look for the blessing that I have purposed for you. He's saying, pray, pray, and pray, and keep praying, and watch. You will see it. You will see it. Because all the promises of God are yes to you. They're all yes. They are all yes. Don't let your body, listen close to me. Don't let your body dictate to you who you are. You tell your body, hey, be quiet. Word of God says, I'm healed. The word of God says, hey, I am complete, lacking nothing. Don't let your body, don't give it the inch that it's trying to get on you. Because God is saying something different. How many say amen to that? He's already said it, like we said. He's a man of his word. Like the song said, if you said it, I believe it, God. Yes. Don't let your body dictate to you. Because the minute you do, the minute you start releasing that to it, it's going to go for all that it can. It'll go more and more and more. How many say amen to that? Amen. Yeah, don't say amen to that. I got you. No, man. Say no. No. Your body's going to wants to get more and more from you. How many say amen? No. You have to say no. Don't say that, because it will. It will try to override you. Don't let it. It will try to stop your well. Don't let it. Hold fast to the word of God, because all the promises are yes and amen. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would, Father God, speak to every heart. That you, Lord, those things that you have deposited within us this morning, Lord, let them strengthen us and build us, just as you have said. We thank you for it this morning. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hey, hug somebody, shake somebody's hands. Tell them thanks for coming to church on Sunday. Amen. Thank you for being here. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.